let's just do this. Kessley, what would you do? You tell me what you'd do to turn this thing around. And just stopped and bobbed it. I guess I'd hit more shots and try to get the team motivated.
Wow. That's
it's fast as bedtime, Tony.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, guys, I'm not, and I may be paraphrasing barely. I'm talking about that's almost spot word for word. I'm not taking a big ass.
Was he kidding? Was
dude,
his
that's
tone?
That's exactly what happened.
Was his tone? Was he kidding? Was he?
No. Remember, just think about it. The first two, I thought, did I hear that right? Remember the first time I thought, man, he sounded sharp. The second one, I thought, he is being sharp. And then, well, you know what, Bob? What would you do?
Wow.
Literally. And Bob's like, hit more shots, I guess.
Wow.
That's his bedtime tone.
I'm speechless. Thank you, brother. You know, you got people snapping on each other. Tony, hey, Keith, you missed it tonight. When we came on, Tony, I could tell Tony got pissed because he said he made a real good point about the early part of the game. We'll revisit that from an hour ago. And by the way, 865-200-5402 is our number. Tony.
Well, apparently we didn't get all of Barnes's comments. Somebody just texted me a comment. Apparently somebody followed up about it if they missed most of Stella tonight. Yeah. He said, nobody hates playing against pressure worse than Dietrich does.
God, what's in the water, dude? Tony snapped on me. Tony said, don't you interrupt me again like that. He said, now look, B, I got your back. He said, but don't, everybody's snappy, man.
I mean, you know what? Let me try and it is a brotherhood. Coaching is a brotherhood.
Sure does.
And we try and get each other's back. Rick is frustrated. He's frustrated that maybe a player that he's done some things for to try and help, to try and guide, to try and grow and develop, that he disappointed. And that's a disappointment to him. And then, you know, you've lost a couple games, and now you're at home, and you think that we can maybe get off the snide a little bit. We can rally around this disappointment. And then that type of performance that we came up with the turnovers, with the shot selection, and what have you. And he's disappointed. And you know what? As he sleeps over this thing tonight, he's probably going to have some regrets on some of the things he said, some of the interactions he's had. If those indeed was the interaction that he had with Bob Kesslen, who is one of the best people that I've ever come in contact with in my life. You know, he was a guest speaker at the Sonny J. Tony Jones basketball camp. When I coached 8 games, when Bruce Pearl got suspended, he came to me and said, hey, these is the questions that these media people going to be asking you and this and that. And he kind of guided me through that situation. So I think Rick will really reflect on some of the things he said and did and be a little bit more he will regret some of the things he said. Obviously he's an accomplished coach. He's frustrated because he's a competitor and he wants to win. He wants to bring UT back to the level.
I like it. I like a little emotion. Hey, I don't mind snapping on a play-by-play guy. I mean, he's paid. I mean, hell, it's probably the first thing on the Vol Network worth listening to in like 3 decades. So, I mean, no offense to the Vol Network, but nothing interesting outside of getting the game. The post-game stuff's just not interesting. So it's good to hear a little bit of emotion out of a coach. That's okay. Just don't rip your players, which is Keith's point. And Keith, you said he double-dipped on, he went back and double-dipped on Mostella. He went back for seconds.
Apparently somebody followed up on it. He essentially said so much as that, of course, Dietrich wouldn't have helped tonight because he can't handle pressure.
You can't say shit like that, Tony. That's not fair.
I don't think it is.
That's unacceptable, Keith. Come on, Rick.
I agree.
Come on, Rick. I backed you. Come on, Rick. come on, Rick. You too experienced
yep.
to
yep.
do these things.
Yep.
That's something you say over a beer with your assistant coach.
That's the point.
You don't say that to the media. And but the one thing, and granted, I realize it's a fairly lucrative deal. I mean, I'll ask Tony this. Why the hell do those guys do those post game radio shows anyways, other than the money?
The money. Period. End of sentence.
And there's no other reason to do those.
Well, of course not. But if you paid me that kind of cheese, hey, put it this way. If you paid Tony Jones that kind of cheese, he'd be on that show right now. He wouldn't be on this one. Tony, am I lying? Tony, am I lying?
Hey, I expect the check to be in the mail tomorrow.
Are you, Tony, I've lost your ear. I can't hardly hear you. Are you like on an earpiece or something? You did something to me. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
How you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing tonight? Welcome in.
Hey, Tony Jones, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Tony, I think you hit the nail on the head when I heard you talking about how fragile this team could be and the way Barnes is getting on them. And I know I talked to you about my buddy, Coach Fulkerson. And he was talking about earlier this year about any time that one of those players makes the least little mistake, he jerks them out of the game. He doesn't let them play through it. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't really judge that so much not being at practice. I mean, you never know what the coaches and the coaching staff have come up with at practice. They may have an emphasis on turnovers. And they may say in practice, hey, if you turn the ball over, you're coming out of the game. It's as simple as that. So you have to back that assertion up with actions during games. So you really can't be overly concerned about that when you're not at practice. I just think he's got to be a guy that's got to motivate these guys. You know, you got some young players out there, and you really got to be like, hey, we're going to get it. I got confidence in you. We're going to turn this around. We're going to get good shots. We're going to get after people defensively. We're going to rotate defensively. We're going to rebound the basketball. We're going to run. You know, you have to keep that positive reinforcement for a young basketball team. And I think, you know, once he reassesses the situation, I think he'll come to that conclusion. That's yet to be seen. Again, Rick Barnes has forgot more about basketball than I would ever know. But yet and still, we have to get off the snide. And this can't be a basketball team or a basketball program that's going to finish close to Missouri. That's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned.
But you know, Tony, occasionally, and this is my opinion, and I'm not a basketball coach, occasionally, especially a young player, instead of a kick in the butt, they may need a pat on the butt. You know what I mean?
Yep. Sandwich approach. I've coached with some great players. I mean, obviously, I got a lot of respect for Bruce Pearl, and you know, he was a motivator, and he was a guy that got guys to run through a brick wall for him. And you know, I've worked with Stan Joplin, who was a disciple of Tom Izzo, and Judd Heathcote, I've been around Jimmy O'Brien, the longtime coach at Boston College, and was at Ohio State. You know, those guys, you know, utilize that sandwich approach where you always got to be able to motivate the kids. You got to get on them, but you got to be able to motivate them to give them the confidence to play their best. And Rick will come to that, especially, you know, during this pivotal point of the schedule right now, because we have to go to Vanderbilt. We have to go to Ole Miss. Before we have three home games against Mississippi State, Kentucky, and then we got the challenge, the Big 12 challenge against Kansas State, who's rated number 25 in the country. So, it could get out of control, but yet and still, it's still enough talent where we can win some of the home games.
Hey, guys, one more thing going out the door. You know, a couple of games ago, I tried to kind of express my opinion that I didn't think Lamonte Turner was a point guard, and y'all made fun of me, and now y'all are agreeing with me. Y'all have a good night.
That was a nice dig out the door, wasn't it, Tony?
That's what he's here for. Let's go back to our phones. Keith, anything you want to add about our conversation here? Anything at all, and then we'll go back to the phones. 865-200-5402 on a night where Tennessee loses. And I guess the aftermath hasn't exactly been smooth. Rick Barnes makes a comment or two, according to Keith Hatfield, about Dietrich Mostella. We had one. He had the other.
One thing I think tonight is, and something Tony said, you have to. You can't coach everybody the same. Everybody's personality is not the same. Everybody's right. Not going to respond. You got to know your players.
That's right.
Yeah. Great point, Keith. I mean, our coaching philosophy when we was at Tennessee, and we used to even tell the players this so they could tell their parents and the most influential people in their lives that assisted us to get these players to come to the university was, we're not going to treat everybody the same, but we're going to treat everybody fairly.
I love that saying.
And that's what it was all about.
I absolutely love that. I'm not going to treat you the same, but everybody's going to get treated fairly. Hey, if you're a star, you're getting more leeway. Hey, if you can shoot the basketball more, I want you shooting it more. Hey, if you're passive and you need to be more aggressive, Robert Hubbs, I'm calling for you to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doesn't get an equal opportunity to look at the basket. That's a great way of putting it. Everybody gets treated fairly. That's a really good way of putting it. Let's jump back to our phones. We've had a ton of calls tonight. We'll keep it going. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome into our next caller, Smartway, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rod, you go to the game tonight?
No.
I thought you went with Leroy.
No. He called me earlier, and I told him I couldn't go with him. I threw a phone good and for church, too.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't go because I have a phone good.
All right, buddy, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, wanted to call and talk to you about the game tonight. It's a good game. I see some of it, and I guess the 10 points. Tony Jones, who I guess Keith too. A lot of players that played tonight. I know you get two people short. Who do you, if you were Barnes now, going forward now, you got two short guys missing, who do you go to now to try to help you win?
Tony, you want to ask Bob Kessling that, or you want to answer that?
That's a good point. Hey, Rod, how you doing, brother?
Yeah.
Hope you're doing good. From my estimation, this is what's got to happen.
Okay.
Watching this team over the last 5 or 6 games since I've been watching it closely. We got at practice, we got a design plays to get the ball to Robert Hubbs. Obviously, when Texas A&M went to that zone, Robert Hubbs funneled into the high post area and he knocked down maybe 2 or 3 jump shots right in that area. And then the next team to play, a backup plays, zone, you know, we got to look to get Robert some looks. And we got to have good ball movement and things of that nature. But we gotta make sure Robert Hood touches the ball and is able to be one of our main focus offensively. Obviously,
yeah.
Grant Williams has to be a focus. I don't know, Keith, if you noticed this, but it was an entry made to Grant a couple times, and South Carolina doubled him. They doubled him. To get the ball out of his hands because he was doing such a good job of catching, turning and facing and getting to the basket and then drawing contact, getting hit, going to the free throw line and things of that nature. So I think the focus has got to be Hubs and Grant Williams. Those has to be your primary offensive weapons that you go to. And then you got to still try and get the ball up and down the floor, utilizing Jordan Bone's ability to get to the basket, Admiral Schofield's ability to get to the basket, and then have a little bit of Jordan Bolden knocking down some three-point shots. And then again, having this type of mentality to go to the offensive glass, because we out-rebounded South Carolina tonight. And we kind of controlled the offensive glass. We had a number of offensive rebounds. That's the mentality we had. And I think that's going to be the recipe to garner some SEC wins.
Well, one thing I think at this point, from a developmental standpoint, and certainly people don't want to hear this, everybody wants to try to win as many games as possible, and you might drop one doing this. Kyle Alexander would play till he fouled out every night.
Amen.
He'd play till he fouled out.
Amen.
There's no reason to be giving those minutes to anybody else, because there's nobody else to play that position next year that's on campus right now. So as far as I'm concerned, you try to find out what exactly you've got, or see if playing more minutes accelerates his development. But I don't see any benefit in Kyle Alexander only playing 10 or 15 minutes tonight.
I agree with that. That's a great assessment, Keith.
Rojette, close me out here, brother. Great talking to you. It sounds like, sure, Rojette, you have not gotten that airborne, nor have you gotten your NRC.
Tony, I didn't want to ask you, buddy, about, I heard today or last night that Barnes, he been to a player for something. What happened? You know what happened with that, Tony?
No, I don't know the particulars on that. He didn't suspend him. He dismissed Dietrich Mostella from the team.
That's
He's gone.
What happened? I wonder what happened with that.
I don't know. I hate seeing that. He was one of my favorite players. He was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I wish that young man well in his life, and I hope whatever happens here serves as a wake-up call for him. And, Raj, no one is past redemption as far as I'm concerned. I hope that young man's story has a tremendous ending, and we can bring him back and celebrate him as a VFL, because we want to love and hug on our own. Let's go back to the phones. Our coach tonight, unfortunately, I don't think probably should have gone there after the game, although I'm not going to blow that out of proportion. Let's get our next call in here and welcome in our next call. Hello on your Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Tony. It's Don.
Hey, Don. Welcome in. You've got Tony Jones, Keith Hatfield, and myself.
Hey, guys. Hey, very disappointed tonight. I'm not questioning Coach Barnes' dismissal of Dietrich. Apparently, you know, there's been a lot of problems maybe with him, but your zone buster was gone tonight. Not that they played that much zone, but anyhow, you didn't have the guy that could step back there with a hand in his face and drain a three like sometimes Dietrich can. Now, he's up and down, he's on or he's off, but you had a threat with, you know, so I think that hurt. But, you know, caller about an hour ago or so said that we had nobody that could play in basically in SEC. I take Grant Williams anytime, anywhere, and put him on my team. What do you experts think about that?
I think Grant, hey, if I was the coach at the University of Tennessee, Grant Williams could be on my team, no question about it. I think, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a history on it. I seen him play in the Rocky Top League this summer when I came back after, you know, spending a year in Canada. And I watched him and I was like, wow, You know, he really plays under the rim. He really doesn't have a superior offensive go-to move. I question if he's going to be successful in the SEC, but he's a credit to him, and a credit to, you know, the strength and conditioning program and the coaching staff. But, you know, they helped, develop him into a player that I believe is an SEC player. And as we move forward, that he's going to be a key component, to the Volunteers, you know, getting back, to the first division. So, Grant Williams is a good player. And, we got some players that's complementary players. And we've touched on this, earlier in the program. We got to get some 4-star guys in here. You know, we may have to get, a premier junior college player in here who's one of the best junior college players in the country that want to come to Knoxville and want to come to a great university and a great town and be revered and get him, to be a part of a resurgence to get us back to the NCAA tournament. And that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take, for us to be, a successful program.
Keith, asked you a question. We don't know because there's no way to know what's the unknown. How much different would this team look right now, in your opinion, and our record look right now if Fulkerson never gets hurt?
I think they'd probably win at least one more game.
Yeah, we'd have beat Arkansas. I'm pretty sure.
I think they've won at least one more game.
Yeah. That kid was, you know, from everything everybody said, you know, he was the one who showed the most enthusiasm, the most workman attitude, the everything, you know, that the team had. And I'm sure from the sideline, in practice, he still tries to do that, but it's not the same as having, you know, I felt like he was already developing as one of, if not the leader on the team. This seems like whatever sport it is, injuries are just something that decimated the football team. The Lady Vols two or three years have had to have players basically miss the whole year, then quit and everything over injuries. And I'm sure other schools face a lot of that same thing, but it sure seems like an inordinate amount has hit this campus over the last 3 years or so. Any comment on that?
Just coming in waves, man. And it's, that injury deal's a weird thing, man, when it visits you. You just don't. You want it to leave, you know, and you just don't know. It's really something. I'll tell you. I hope it stops.
Yeah.
I hope it stops.
Well, you know, I'm frustrated, but I still enjoy watching this team play. And one of the things with some of the callers calling in, Keith, I think you've tried to curb some of the that from them. We don't have Kentucky freshmen, obviously. But you had basically very untested players out there, whether they be freshmen, redshirt freshmen. And they were playing against guys that have been in the South Carolina program 3 to 4 years. And just like we talked about in football, you can be, you know, a star athlete, great physique and everything. But if you're 18-year-old and you're in our plant against 21-year-old men that's been in weight rooms and everything for 3 years or so, it's still hard to compensate for that, you know, that time element. And I really just think that, yeah, we do need that star player that get to guy, Tony, you talk about all the time of, you know, that, you know, somebody that you can go to just like they went to Thornwell every time they needed something. But I believe if these kids keep their nose clean, several of them are going to develop to the point that they're going to be good SEC players. It may be next year, it may be their junior years. And the only confusing thing I have about player development is what you guys, Keith, mentioned a while ago. When I seen Alexander out there tonight, I seen him save a ball on a hustle play, that loose ball rolling up the court, block it, really blocked a shot and everything. What are we saving his fouls for? Why is he sitting on the bench with two? That's my biggest question is, you know, and I go along with you, Keith. He'd be in there. If he fouls out in the first half, he fouls out. But, you know, maybe he's been in there long enough to help you get a lead or build a lead. Anyhow, with that, I'll just get off and listen to you guys talk and let other people on. But appreciate the show. See
Thanks,
you later.
Thanks, Don. Keith, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, one thing that we've got to remember here, and certainly, I mean, nobody likes the idea of rebuilding or taking a while. I mean, South Carolina's got it rolling right now. This is Frank's fifth year, and they still haven't been to the NCAA tournament yet. I mean, when Thornwell and Notice and those guys were freshmen and sophomores, they weren't any good. I mean, they were finished with losing records. I think Thornwell's freshman year, they might have been a game over 500. And that was with the two big kids, the two big kids from Eastern Europe and Michael Carrera on the team. So, I mean, I just think unless you're getting the guys that once you get outside that handful of programs, the Arizonas, the Kansases, the North Carolinas, Duke, Kentucky, I mean, there's a handful of programs getting the guys who show up for 1 year and then leave having won 25 or 30 games. Everywhere else, I think you've got to be like Wisconsin, and you've got to have fourth and fifth year guys. And that's the thing right now. We don't have the fourth and fifth year guys. Is the problem. I mean, we've ended up with this giant gap where we've got a roster that's almost completely freshmen and sophomores.
Tony, your thoughts?
You know, just to touch on Keith's thought about South Carolina, he's right. I know when we competed against him when I was at Auburn, you know, those guys throwing well notice was younger players, and you know, Carrera was just a beast. That 6'4", he just gangster people. He was just an unbelievable player. I loved him, you know. But you know, Mark Postar is an experienced player. Notice and Thornwell are experienced players. PJ Dozier is that 5-star guy. And he did get PJ Dozier. And he's obviously, his dad played at South Carolina. He's a South Carolina kid. That was a kid that you had to get. And he did. And they're in position to get to the NCAA tournament. And we talked about NCAA tournament teams from the Southeastern Conference. And I think right now, obviously, in my estimation, Florida's gonna get there. Kentucky, is going to get there. South Carolina, I think, will get there. And then Georgia, I think Georgia is the NCAA tournament team. So you got four teams, in my estimation, is going to get to the tournament. South Carolina is one of them. And those guys have guys that's been there for 4 and sometimes 5 years. And that may be the recipe for Tennessee to get there, these young guys to continue to develop and things of that nature. Alexander needs to play. You need to get a 4-star player. You need to get a junior college player to be able to compete. But you know the day of college athletics is what have you done for me lately? And people don't look towards the future; they look towards right now.
Yeah.
And you know we need to try and continue to put the best possible product out there on the basketball floor and put our players in a position to be successful.
Tony, you know, and Keith, this market is so amazing that this basketball team's 8-8. Okay. Now, granted, Keith, we've been doing this for 3 seasons now and we've built this, okay? We've been on the air now for 90 minutes and we have not taken one commercial break. That's 90 minutes of content. That's 3 hours, guys, in dog years. Tony, the lines are still lit up. Now, I have got to go to sleep because I have to work tomorrow. And so with that in mind, first of all, I would like you to comment, as might spin it all around this country, is it not incredible how much and how passionate Tennessee fans are about the sport of college basketball? We get a bum rap here. of being a women's basketball market. No offense to that game, but that's not what this is. This place loves college basketball. And college and women's basketball is its own thing, but it's not college basketball. It's just not. I mean, they can roll the ball out there in their tournament, no offense. And when you watch those baby seals get clubbed in that first round, I mean, I'm not trying to offend anybody here. I'm calling it right down the middle. That ain't March Madness. That's March Sadness.
First round, Tony. First four or five rounds of that tournament.
And so I'll stand up and have the courage to say this. We're 90 minutes into this. I celebrate the living Vol fan. I celebrate this place. I say take a backseat to no one. I say where the hell is the AD hire? I say what the hell's going on? I say the living fan deserves better. But I also say kudos to you. Tony, I would like you to comment as somebody that's coached all around the country. Kid from Detroit. I met at your Sonny J camp 2 years ago, Doc Ice and all your friends. They pulled me aside. They told me how much you love it here. They said, Tony's going to live here. I said, come on. They said, Tony's going to live here. When it's done for Tony, he's going to live here. He's not going to come back and live in Detroit with us. He's going to be like what you've done. Because they knew I was from Philly, Tony, you know, we were talking about that. And
right.
They said, Tony's going to live here. So, Tony, I want you to speak to the fans. Pump us up tonight about how special this place is.
The best fan base in America, bar none. Bar none. I don't care about Kentucky. I don't care about Kansas. I don't care about UConn, football-wise. I don't care about Alabama. I don't care about the national champion, Clemson. The best fan base in America. And this fan base deserves the best. I'm going to continue to live here. I may be coaching somewhere else, but I always own a home here. And I will be laid to rest in Knoxville, Tennessee. No question about that. I love the people here. People have been so nice to me, so gracious, so loyal, and I return that loyalty. And I want Tennessee football, basketball, the Lady Vols, baseball. I want every program on the yard to be successful, and that's what it deserves. No question about it. That's what it deserves. Let's don't turn the lights off on this season. You know, we 1-3. Hey, we can go down to Vanderbilt and win.
Better believe it.
We can go down to Ole Miss where Georgia went down to Ole Miss and won tonight. You know, I'm watching here where I'm watching Johnny Jones's LSU team just get destroyed by Texas A&M. They're losing by about 30 points. So it's some wins out there that we can garner where we can potentially be a NIT team. All you got to do is be 500 or above to get to the NIT. And that will build a lot of confidence in these young guys and help Rick Barnes on his quest to bring University of Tennessee basketball back to some relevancy nationally.
Marcos Garza, GarzaLaw.com. Thank you, Marcos, for your sponsorship. Check out GarzaLaw.com. Tony, your appearance tonight presented by, and then we'll squeeze in a couple calls here on the way out. Tony, your appearance presented by?
My appearance is presented by the Alley Restaurant, Roar Energy Sports Drink, obviously H3 Sports, but you can follow H3 Sports at h3sports.org. I'm the director and head coach of the Knoxville Basketball Academy. You can reach me at TonyKBA@h3sports.com. I'm going to have six AAU teams that's going to be competing in the spring in Knoxville, throughout the state, regionally, North Carolina, Kentucky, and hopefully we can go nationally to Orlando, Florida, to be able to compete in the Nationals. So all those people have gotten behind the Tony Jones moniker to be supportive of me being on the Tony Basilio Basketball Overtime Show.
Keith Hatfield, your appearance tonight presented by
our good friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville next to the historic Tennessee Theater.
Danny and Josh, I love you guys and everybody there at Clancy's, and hopefully we'll get back with Fountain City Ramblers and play some music back there again this coming soon. I'll give you more on dates as we get going. Let's go back to our phones and get a next call in, 865-200-5402. On a night where Tennessee loses by 10, we're an hour and 36 minutes in. Volchuk, email me, commonfan@gmail.com, commonfan@gmail.com. Go to the website at tonybasilio.com if you want to reach me, and that's how you reach me, if you want to email me. To our next call, hello and welcome in.
Hey, guys, it's Smitty.
Hey, Smitty.
First, we could have Johnny Jones as the head coach. Y'all have a good night.
Johnny Jones, do you, Tony, are you in with that? Your sense of what the poor bullet has done down there?
You know what? I'm
it's 75-48, Tone. I just looked up because I'm trying not to watch this. I don't mean to interrupt you. 75-48?
I love my profession, and I love my colleagues, and I know Johnny. Johnny is a friend of mine, I feel bad for him right now. You know, he has to, you know, to get LSU back to a competitive state, which they are not, in my opinion. And just one other point I just want to bring up, Tony, that I didn't bring up, you know, is David Blackburn. David Blackburn is a guy that was an associate AD and an important cog at the University of Tennessee while I was there. Very competent individual, a guy that knows and loves the University of Tennessee. You know, he takes a job at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Yep.
He does unprecedented things there. He hires great coaches. He talked to me about the head coaching job at UTC. And, you know, in his infinite wisdom, he decided to go in another direction. I respected that. We talked, for over an hour on the phone about my vision and things of that nature. Tennessee University, hire this man. He will bring our program back to the highest level in every sport under his leadership. Hire this man. This man deserves the athletic directorship at the University of Tennessee.
Tony, you're telling me right now, I've never heard that you talked with David Blackburn when that job was open, and
yep,
it went to somebody else, and you're recommending him to be hired as the AD here? Your experience with him was that good?
It was that good because he called me back. And I called him back and didn't reach him. And he called me back the second and third time to reach
God,
him.
God, are you kidding me?
Hey.
That's not like in that industry, Tony. People don't return calls, do they? When you don't get jobs, you don't hear from them.
You don't hear from them. And relationships that you've experienced in the past, people just say, hey, hey, I'm moving forward in another direction. But David Blackburn talked to me about my vision of UTC and some of the things that I may have had going for me and then going against me, in some instances. And he said, hey, in my infinite wisdom, I'm gonna hire this guy. I hope you respect, my decision, Tony. You are a very competent individual who could lead a Division I program And I wish you the best of luck in the future. And you know what? I have so much respect for this guy, so much love for this guy. After being denied a position that I think that I would have been good at, but I left with a positive taste in my mouth about this individual, and there's no other candidate that will be better than David Blackburn to be the athletic director at the University of Tennessee.
Well, it's only been 8 months. I mean, guys, any final thought? Tony, I love your final thought. I'm gonna let that be your final thought. Keith Hatfield, give me a final thought here on the way out.
Well, this team certainly got to find some sort of focus and get back to what they look like down the stretch in non-conference, up at UTC, at ETSU, and in the league opener at Texas A&M. Because, I mean, two road games coming up, neither against overwhelming teams. Certainly, they get back to the level of play they were at from mid-December to the start of conference play. They certainly should get at least one of the next two, if not both of them.
Tony, do I have your permission to play your impassioned, off-the-cuff, I didn't know you were doing that, little thing you just said for David Blackburn. Do I have your permission to play that on my show tomorrow?
No question. I mean, I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Okay.
Because
I wanted to clear it with you. I wanted, because this is an app deal. I wanted to clear it with you. That's all. I just wanted to clear it with you.
That's an endorsement of David Blackburn. And anybody who's got love for Tony Jones and the band we put together, at the University of Tennessee, when, you know, under the auspices and the leadership of Bruce Pearl, hopefully you stand behind that. Obviously it was, some decisions that was made that, you know, we wish we could, you know, turn back the hands of time, but we still got love for the University of Tennessee. And I'll share this with you. When I told Bruce, that I was going on to be a head coach in Canada, and move on, you know, he told me, and I'll share this with the common fan because I got love for the common fan and all you guys. He said, you know what? If I wasn't coaching, I'd be living in Knoxville, Tennessee myself. I love that place. So, you have my, approval to run that. As it relates to David Blackmore's endorsement by Tony Jones. I have to relate Keith's sentiment. We got to get one of these two games on the road. And I think we have to really go after this game against Vanderbilt. It's a rivalry game. We're going to have some fans down there. We always going to have at least a third or an eighth of the fans of the Memorial Gymnasium down there. Let's go down there. Let's catch them off guard. They may think that they can just step on the court and win because we've been struggling here in the last three games. But let's go down there and catch them and let's go down there and win that basketball game, and let's put us back in the thick of things in the SEC. And then if we are not forced enough to win it, let's go down to Ole Miss, which is a team that's capable of being beat on their home court like they did tonight against Georgia, and go down there and win one of those games, and then garner some momentum to beat Mississippi State at home, a team that we're capable of winning.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Keith, thank you. Tony, thank you, guys.
No problem, Tony. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, fellas. And all right, buddy. Hey, and God willing, we'll get back together after the Vanderbilt game and do this all over again. Tomorrow we're live on the air with you at 11 a.m. We got some stuff planned for tomorrow. Don't miss it. On the way out, boy, it's been a heavy week around here, for me. We've taken on some real power people here this week. I'm risking And you can kind of tell, those of you looking at it on Periscope can tell tonight, I've kind of risked my professional life here. I'm sponsor driven. And I've spoken truth to power this week. And it feels really good. Do you know why it feels really good? Because I think you're worth it. I'm getting a little misty-eyed right here. It's been very pressuring. I've just been up against the gun, kind of sleepless. Something clicked in me. I listened to Tony Jones tonight. And Tony Jones said, they're going to bury me here. Whether you like it or not, we're in this together. I don't know whether you want me in there, in this with you. But I'm going to tell you right now, the people that have the money, who have been calling the shots in this town, they're not good at sports. They're not. And if you want to forward them this tape tonight and get them all angry and get them all mad at me, they're not good at it. And by the way, if I ran gas stations and convenience stores, they'd be out of business in 2 weeks. They're not good at it. They need to take their hands, put them out like this, and let the reins go. Because it's time for something else. It's time for a change. Look, this is no knock against the Haslam family or that guy Rajah. I got nothing against those people. They're good people. We all want the same thing, but everybody's so afraid to say it. Everybody walks on eggshells. And you know what I am? I mean, in the overall scope of things to them, I'm a speck. But I'm going to tell you what you are. You're powerful. You're powerful. I'm a speck. I'm a pimple on their ass. You're powerful. Don't you forget that. And that is what Mike Chase said today in my blog. And I'm so proud of that. Let me tell you something. You take the time to send out an email. You take the time to tweet one of those people. You take the time to make a phone call. That's powerful. Now, you might not believe that's powerful. But let me tell you, you don't understand how powerful that is. Especially if you present yourself appropriately. Like Tony said, the sandwich deal. Hey, Mr. Haslam, I really appreciate everything you've done for our community. I really have. You've helped a lot of people. Why don't you let somebody else do it? And by the way, thank you for supporting our church in our whatever drive. Thank you. But you need to let somebody else hire this AD. How many people like Tony Jones do I have to tell me that David Blackburn should be the next AD here? How many people? Would somebody please explain that to me? How many people? The whole reason he hadn't been hired till yet. And again, I'm speaking truth to power. And I don't give a damn at this point, because there's no going back. because here's the reality. The reality is if they cut me off, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, you're paying me $10 a month or whatever it is, and you're going to help me stay afloat. I know you are. I know this place will not let me down. I know that. And I got it in my heart on Monday, and I said, I'm going for it. Somebody's got to speak the truth. These people are not letting me fall. I believe that. Now, I could be wrong, and I could be in the damn bread line in 2 weeks. Here's the thing. You sit there. You sit there as a fan and you say to yourself, I'm so helpless. Bullshit. It's not, that's a lie. Your voice in this day and age with that thing called the internet, I don't care what political party you're in. I don't care. Donald Trump, to be honest with you, ain't really my cup of tea. I'm kind of a conservative, not to get all political on you here. And he's, whatever he is, I don't know. He won because he went around that mainstream media and talked right to people. I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not. Because I care about people. I mean, I love people. I love everybody. And I don't have an arrogant bone in my body. But I'm going to tell you right now, what they've done to Blackburn to this point is piss poor, and it's wrong. It's wrong. And I said it today on the air, and I'm going to say it again. And you have to understand this. This is about those people controlling this thing. It's not about getting the right hire. Getting a guy in here I can control. That's what it's about. And I'm telling that, I'm going to speak truth. That guy's a billionaire. Billion. I'm the only person in town courageous enough to say this. Take your hands off the wheel. It hasn't worked. It's not working, and it hasn't worked. Hey, God bless you. But it has not worked. And here's what you can do. You make your voice heard. If you don't make your voice heard, I'm promising you right now, we're done. We're done. They bring that Mike Bone in here, and this place gets boned. You're up for a boning of your lifetime. I'm telling you right now, you can forget about it. You can forget about it. It is past time to restore this place to its place. What are you talking about? Why isn't Marion Hobby on our coaching staff? Why wasn't Dale Jones ever contacted and brought back here? How do we have the NFL Executive of the Year in the front office with the Raiders, and he's not getting called, and they're saying, asking him, who would you hire? We have brain power. We have people that are experts in that field. We have a guy in who did a great job with the Detroit Lions as offensive coordinator. We've got Charles Davis, who's tweeted out a million times, why hasn't David Blackburn been hired yet? It's time for you to quit being intimidated and stand up. Stand up. Hey, look, they might rub me out. I'm not kidding. Those are powerful people now. I might get rubbed out. Yeah, with a clear conscience. With a clear conscience. People can say a lot of things about me. And most of them are true. Most of them are true. But one thing you can't say about me is that I'm afraid. Because Monday, I'm not afraid. This week has been refreshing. And people want to ask me about other people in the media. Hey, I don't answer to them. I answer to God. And specifically, I answer to this fan base. Y'all have let me succeed against all the big radio companies, against all the big conglomerates. And I've had people, they put me in my time slot, and they're going to go around town talking about how they're going to rub me out, and Jimmy Himes going to rub, I'm going to rub Basilio, we're going to rub Basilio out. Hey, guys, I'm still standing. And it has nothing to do with me. But you guys don't understand it. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. But it's not about them. That's my point. My point is, tonight, if you're feeling defeated, if you're feeling down low, however you're feeling, it's not hopeless. It is not hopeless. You have a voice. Use it. You have a cell phone. Make a call on it. You have an internet. Send an email. You have stamps. Send a letter. We can do this. We can do this. It's been 8 months. It has been 8 months. They knew they were pulling the plug on that guy last May. And this charade with that Davenport lady at that dysfunctional university that I went to school at, that has given me some great times, a beautiful wife, an incredible family. I owe it all to that place. Changed my life. I came down here as a 19-year-old kid, didn't know who I was, didn't know where I was, didn't know how I was, didn't know how I was going to get there. And this place changed my life. And if taking on the power structure in this town is a part of my contribution, and I've got to get myself rubbed out, then so be it. And I'm 100% serious when I say that. Because I can promise you this. When I open this microphone, what comes out of my mouth, it ain't a game. Oh yeah, yesterday, the Alabama thing. I mean, sure, I'm going to have some fun. We're going to keep having fun. My number one objective is to have fun. My number one objective is to celebrate being a Vol fan in Big Orange Country every day. And to be here for you. That's my number one objective. That's all we do. Will Blackburn still come? Blackburn would crawl on his belly on glass to take this job tonight. He would leave tonight. He would leave tonight. A couple months ago, I was this close to quitting, doing what I'm doing. Do you know why? You know why I was this close to quitting? I was this close to quitting because I said this thing's hopeless. And I carried that inside me. Just carried it around. They're going to screw that guy. I kept alluding to it on the air. Longer that thing goes, it's not just about David Blackburn. It's about us valuing ourselves here. That's what it's about. It's not just about Blackburn. It's almost like the attitude is, well, they're from Tennessee, they must be a stupid hillbilly. Why would David Blackburn's growing up here, being raised in that athletic department, why would that play against him? Why would the fact that everybody wants him as AD, why would that play against him? Well, except for a couple people.